from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we're going to do the latest installment of the Giants mailbag. It has become kind of a Friday tradition. So at least throughout the offseason, that's going to be when we'll do it. I think when the season gets underway, it may not be the best day for the mailbag. But for now, just expect this every Friday. So before we jump into it, I do want to mention that, you know, Drew Smyly signed a one-year deal with the Giants in the middle of yesterday's recording, like right when I was actually talking about him as a possible free agent starting pitcher signing. Didn't get a whole lot of time to talk about him on the show. It kind of messed up the direction that we were going with the show. I wish it had happened sooner and I could have devoted most of the show to it, but I think we'll try to incorporate it into some of the answers on today's mailbag instead of just talking about it like a news item. And then the other thing that we won't get too much time to talk about, but I do want to devote time, I guess, next week to talk about it, is the fact that the Giants also hired two more coaches yesterday, including Alyssa Nakin, who became the first woman to hold a coaching position in MLB history. So that's obviously great news, and we'll definitely devote some time to that later on. But today, we won't be able to give it the attention it deserves because of the mailbag. So now getting to the questions, there are a lot, and the last few times we've done this, spent too much time on some questions, so we're going to try to move a little faster to get to more questions. At Chavez00012 says, who's the opening day starter? So this is an interesting one because there are like a number of different ways you could go and rationale behind these answers. I think the answer is going to be Johnny Cueto. If he has a normal, healthy spring, then he's clearly the most proven and established starting pitcher that the Giants have, and I would expect that they go with him. The other answer that a lot of people might want to think is Jeff Samardzija, who had the best earned run prevention season of any Giants pitcher last season. Yet the peripherals were so much worse, I just don't think this Giants team buys into that production, so I can't see them rolling with Samardzija on opening day. And then in terms of who might actually be their best pitcher, to me it might be Kevin Gausman. Yet I just don't know if the Giants are going to be willing to send that message right away and put that pressure on him, which basically sends the message that he's the guy they expect to have the best season. I think he'd probably be more comfortable just settling in a little bit lower down. So I'm going with Cueto. At Adam Bayboy says, thoughts on the 2020 rotation and where Smyly fits into it. You think Webb will start the year in the majors? So I have been very adamant about how I like the Giants starting rotation a lot more than most people seem to. I think that they're in pretty good shape despite losing Madison Bumgarner. I think that fans are overrating the value of Madison Bumgarner, acting as if he's worth like 10 to 15 wins or something, when in fact the reality is you're talking about maybe 2 or 3 wins over a replacement level player, and yet the Giants have filled out the staff with multiple options to fill that void. Signing Smyly yesterday, picking up Tyler Anderson off waivers, signing Kevin Gausman, signing Tyson Ross to a minor league deal. I like the depth that they've created in the rotation. And so where does Smyly fit in? Well, they've said he's going to be a starter. And definitely, at least on Monday, we're going to go into more detail about Smyly. But I like the acquisition of Smyly quite a bit. He had Tommy John surgery in 2017. Didn't pitch in 2017 or 2018. And then last year, really struggled at first with Texas. Arrived in Philadelphia in July and then got progressively better in his entire stint there. His velocity ticked up every single month of 2019. And down the stretch in Philadelphia, he had a very strong September, including a dominant outing in his last start of the year. So the sweet spot, as general manager Scott Harris said, for Tommy John recipients is typically 2 years removed from the surgery is when they fully bounce back. He featured good stuff with the Phillies. Like I said, velocity was up. Strikeout rate was high. With the Phillies, he was striking out 26% of batters. There were only a handful of starters, maybe about 10 starters, who had a better strikeout rate from July 21st through the end of the season. And that strikeout rate was even better in September, around 30%, which was among the league leaders as well. So there's real upside in a Drew Smyly. I think that he can provide some quality innings for the Giants. Lots of strikeout potential, which is highly correlated with run prevention. And I mean, he just slots in as another guy who they can hope to get, you know, 100 plus innings out of. In terms of Logan Webb, to fully answer this question, I think given how much depth they've stockpiled in the rotation, there's definitely a chance that Webb could start the year in the minors as opposed to the majors because they have him on an innings limit in 2020. Going to do this one next because it's kind of a follow-up of that question. Admiral Buzzkill says, which starting pitcher is likely shipped out before the season? Do they just carry the 8 on the depth chart through spring, or does Zaidi make one final flip? So that's really hard to predict. If anybody's getting traded, it would probably be a veteran like Jeff Samardzija, I would think. Johnny Cueto definitely is a trade candidate, but I think they're going to want to have him prove he's healthy, whereas Samardzija's value may never be higher coming off the season he had despite the bad peripherals. That being said, the depth chart on sfgiants.com to me isn't necessarily accurate in terms of what they're going to roll into the season with. It's got Cueto, Samardzija, Gausman, Smyly, Webb, Beattie, Tyler Anderson, Derek Rodriguez. I think I keep hearing that they're not expecting Tyler Anderson to be ready until May. And then I don't foresee Derek Rodriguez being, you know, probably not even on the opening day roster. And like we just said, Logan Webb may not be there as well. So you're looking at maybe Cueto, Samardzija, Gausman, Smyly, Beattie, and that's 5 right there. And then I think there's a decent chance Tyson Ross could also be in the mix on the opening day roster. So last question before we move to the second half. Katie Claiborne asks about the breakdown of the 25-man roster out of spring. So of course, the first thing I'll say is that MLB is actually moving to a 26-man roster starting this season. So that definitely changes things. And interestingly, and worth noting, there's going to be a cap at 13 pitchers. So I think it makes sense for teams to carry the maximum number of pitchers all year, 13. So you've got 13 pitchers and 13 position players. So I was working on this yesterday, trying to look at who will be the 13 pitchers coming out of spring. And obviously, if they make more additions, then we don't know. But, you know, there's a list here. I came up with a list of 14, and it's hard to see who should come off of that list. Given that Tyler Anderson may be hurt to start the year, we'll subtract him, and then that gets us to 13. In alphabetical order, it's Sean Anderson, Tyler Beattie, Johnny Cueto, Kevin Gausman, Trevor Gott, Danny Jimenez, the Rule 5 pick, Wandy Peralta, Tyler Rogers, Tyson Ross, Jeff Samardzija, Drew Smyly, Tony Watson, Logan Webb. So I know I just said Webb may start the season in the minors, but even so, it's hard to envision any of those guys not being in the staff. I guess Wandy Peralta is one, and maybe Tyson Ross, Danny Jimenez, there's definitely question marks there, but Jimenez is going to have the inside track given that he's a Rule 5 pick and must be returned to the Blue Jays if the Giants don't have him on the opening day roster. And Tyson Ross has something to prove in spring because he did sign a minor league deal. If Logan Webb isn't on the team, I guess you could make a case for Sam Coonrod or Yandel Gustave or Jake Jewell potentially as another righty pitcher. But it's a group that I don't hate. I think it's lacking like elite talent, but it's also a group of pitchers who every single one of them you feel okay about their chances when they come into a game. On the position player side, you've got Posey, Belt, Dubon, Crawford, Longoria as starters in the infield right now, and Dickerson, Yastrzemski, and probably Jalen Davis in the outfield. So there's your 8. And then on the bench, you've got backup catcher Aramis Garcia. Could be somebody else, though. Donovan Solano, Steven Duggar, Austin Slater. So that's four more. There's 12. And then you need probably the left-handed hitting middle infielder slash third baseman who at this moment in time might be Keen Wong on the depth chart. So there's 13. That I think they could afford to make an upgrade in the outfield, which pushes one of Duggar and Slater off the 26-man roster. And then you could also afford to upgrade potentially over Keen Wong there. But generally speaking, that's the list. Anyway, coming up in the second half of the show, we'll continue answering your questions on this edition of the Giants Mailbag. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75 degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix within 50 miles. Check out amazing restaurants and bars nearby, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Arizona is known for its incredible landscapes and thrilling outdoor adventures. Hit the road and explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Bringing the kids along to spring training, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides to games and activities. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. It really is a wonderful time to head down to Arizona, enjoy all that it has to offer, and enjoy baseball in the sunshine in February and March. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. Okay, as promised here in the second half of the show, we're going to continue to run through your questions on this edition of the Giants Mailbag. At Miles Dividend MD asks, if the Giants get one of Castellanos, Puig, Souza, as well as Neil Walker, would you be satisfied with the offseason? So that one, it depends. If it was Souza and Neil Walker, I would not really consider those guys to be massive offensive upgrades, especially Neil Walker. I just think, honestly, I'd rather have them give a chance to Keen Wong than Neil Walker. I know I mentioned Walker as a possible fit in an earlier episode, but if they're going to get that lefty hitting second base slash third baseman, at this point, given the options that remain in free agency, I'd rather have them pull off a trade and get someone a little more impactful. Even Ben Zobrist to me might be a better fit than Neil Walker, even though Zobrist is 39 or going to be 39. And then in the outfield, Souza, I mean, he's got some offensive upside, but he's coming off pretty serious knee injury. Not sure what to expect defensively and from a base running standpoint, and definitely some holes in his game offensively as well. So I have considered it a pretty strong offseason in terms of I like pretty much all of the additions they've made, and they've been low cost with high upside. And I also think, you know, they lost Bumgarner, they lost Smith, but those were some big contracts that those two ended up signing. I think 5 years down the road, it might not look like a great contract for Madison Bumgarner. And then in addition, they also get draft pick compensation by losing Bumgarner and Smith in a super deep draft, where the Astros are losing draft picks, so those picks are going to even move up further. Anderson, Gausman, Smiley, Ross, those guys all have upside and are generally underrated. Someone like Kevin Gausman, I keep saying, could easily be a better pitcher than Madison Bumgarner in 2020. So call me the high man already on their offseason. I think that they've made the types of moves they should be making given where they are in their competitive cycle, which is that they're not just one piece away from being pushed over the top. Keep in mind, you know, they were like a close to a 90 loss team, even with Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith. So just like re-signing those guys to big contracts wasn't going to be enough anyway. So you want to build in a position that sets you up best for the long term. Hum Bus's second best buddy says, Scott Harris talked recently about adding another starter to the rotation even after signing Smiley. Do you think that will be a minor league signing? Do you think a left-handed hitting infielder or a right-handed hitting outfielder is a bigger priority than adding another starting pitcher? Yes, I think that they're pretty good and they're pretty set from a pitching standpoint. Harris said, we feel pretty good about the group of pitchers we've assembled and it's coming together. He said something like that, and I agree. But from an offensive standpoint, that is not as much coming together. They really haven't made any additions there. even though they've talked about wanting to all offseason. We have five more questions, so unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be able to answer them all. And they're all good, so it's hard to choose. At Giants Julie wants to know if Will Clark and Ryan Vogelsong are still coaches. And I think that's a great question that I don't know the answer to, but I will try to find out. They never were like normal coaches. They were special instructors who just occasionally showed up and helped out. And I would imagine that they're not going to be kicked out of that role. But I also think their influence is probably not going to be as significant as maybe it was in the past. Josh Howeth wants to know about Buster Posey and an optimistic yet realistic projection for him this year. And I am optimistic about Buster Posey because he has a floor of really good defense. And, you know, projecting to 2020, I think league average offense, which is a disappointment given that he used to be well above average offensively. But if you can get league average offense, which is generally a reasonable projection for him, then you add the plus-plus defense from him at catcher, and you're talking about a 3-WAR season over 500 plate appearances. So, you know, it's down significantly from his peak when he was consistently a 7-WAR player. But, you know, 2 is major league average roughly, and so if you're getting 3-plus WAR out of your catcher, that's still strong performance. So I think, you know, last year was a down year. He was under 2 wins above replacement and 15% below average offensively, but the projections kind of buy a rebound offensively, which with the defense makes him a solidly above average player. He also won't probably be hitting in the middle of the lineup anymore, which should help from an optics standpoint. He was like the worst 4 hitter in the game, seemingly. So lastly, Steven Salati wants to know about Pablo Sandoval. And the short answer is that he is a free agent and he's very unlikely to be back. He had Tommy John surgery late in 2019, and he's not even going to be able to throw a baseball until the middle of 2020 at least. So there's really no reason to bring him back at this point in time. His days of being a skilled defender seem to be past him. He did make an impact at times with the bat in 2019, but I cannot foresee a Giants team without Bruce Bochy around to advocate for Sandoval anymore. It's just not really a fit. He doesn't provide a lot of value on the bases or in the field anymore, and his best days are almost certainly behind him, and I think he's probably played his last game as a Giant, and possibly he could have played his last game as a major leaguer. I will just say, you know, at some point we have to turn the page on the glory days of the early 2010s. We're in 2020 now, and you know, these guys are way past their prime at this point in time. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Remember to get this show every single weekday. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again on Monday. We'll talk all about Drew Smyly and the Giants' historic hire of the first female coach in Major League history. Cannot wait for that, and until then, we'll see you next time.